With your one hand, you've got your coffee. With your other hand, would you grab your Bible and hold it up with me in the air? We want to declare again. Prepare our hearts for what is coming. Let's say together, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. We began last week with the first of four messages out of 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read just the two verses that we're focusing on, beginning at verse 9. And the Holy Spirit records, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for your word. Thank you that in spite of what has been tried to do to it, you have preserved it inerrant and inspired all down through time. And I thank you that you, Holy Spirit, dwell inside of us and you empower us to understand what our logical minds could never understand. You give us revelation. You pull back the veil. You allow us to see, to hear, to be changed as the word becomes alive. We declare that we are open to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, before we begin, I ask for a fresh infilling of your Spirit. Would you take literal possession of me, my mind, my mouth, every part of me? I invite you to flow through me to accomplish your purpose in this place. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to steal the seed. I command you now to be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. There will be no distraction, no interference, and no theft. And Father, I want to say thank you again that you, through the course of this time, are going to be speaking words that I'm not going to say. I ask that you would open up our ears, that every person you are speaking to would hear your voice, would recognize that it's you, would capture that word and be changed by it. We believe one word from you changes everything. And so in advance, we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, last week we began by talking about the first of four gifts that the Lord has given us out of 1 Peter. How many of you honestly had even one thought over this last week about the revelation of being a chosen race? Just a single thought. How many of you had one? Awesome. Today, opening up the second one, and just want you to know that for the sake of carbon tax and green and all that stuff, I'm using the same paper as last week. You want to give me a hand for that? Can you do that? Just give me a hand, please. Go ahead, give me a hand. I only heard two hands. Can you clap for me? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. The first time was better. The second time is not near as pretty. But I just want you to get the picture. As the Lord laid upon my heart and said, "Call, I want you to speak about the gift of my identity, who I say my children are." Last week was a chosen race. This week we'll be looking at the revelation of a royal priesthood. I want you to get this inside of you before we begin this morning, and I want you to think about the fact that God, all down through time, revealed Himself by the names that He gave us. Let me ask you, Jehovah Jireh, what did God reveal about Himself? He is our provider. When we found out his name, we could begin believing. God says, I will provide for you. God said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. And I want you to understand, he revealed that in the Old Testament before Jesus, by his wounds, bore our sickness and disease. He has been our healer all down through time. El Shaddai. God said, I am your El Shaddai. What is that? More than enough. The God who is more than enough. Not a just enough God. I remember when Tim Redmond says there needs to be a transformation in the mind of most believers who live with a God of just enough to get to the God of more than enough. That was a major shift in a lot of our thinking. Most of us come from poverty spirit. And we had to grow into an understanding of abundance spirit, an overflow spirit, blessed to be a blessing spirit. But I want you to understand that God, through names, has revealed himself. And I want to make this jump. God is saying, unless you know your name, you will not know who you are. And unless you know your name, what I call you, you will not do what you are called to do. And I'll tell you just straight up today, coming into this message, I am believing that the Holy Spirit is literally going to take a branding iron to every one of our hearts and minds. And at the end of this message today, you will never forget the word spoken over you by God himself that has never been spoken over a Jewish person in the Old Testament. They were called priests, but let me tell you, in the New, he said, you and I are royal priesthood. My prayer is you will never forget this as long as you live. I just want to share a couple things before I get into really what the Lord has laid upon my heart. When did the priesthood begin? Let's go back again really quickly. And again, I just want to say to you, I'm going to share just so much skeleton stuff today because what the Lord laid in my heart is that I need to give you a bunch and then over the next week for you to take that, chew on it, study it, look it up, spend time in it. I got to tell you, I was just blessed by a number of you who said, man, this week I've just been spending time in Chosen Race, just been getting back into those verses. And it's like, wow, okay, that's awesome. Now, as a teacher in school, I recognize that maybe 2% of the class will go home and do their homework. I understand that. But that's the Holy Spirit's job, not mine. But I'm going to give you skeleton, and I'm going to encourage you to take it and begin to chew on it on your own after. When did the priesthood begin? Melchizedek was the first, because Abraham, after he went and rescued Lot and all of their possessions came back, Melchizedek met them on the way. That's when Abraham gave him 10% of everything he had. Melchizedek had no beginning, no ending. It's a Christophany, which is one of the appearances of Christ on earth before he actually became incarnate as a child. That's one of the four appearances of Christ, Melchizedek. You're going to hear different teachings on that. I'm so thankful you don't have to have the correct one to be saved. That's all I'm saying. But the priesthood for the people of Israel came after God delivered the Jewish people out of Egypt. God used Moses and Aaron, brought them out. God said to Aaron, Aaron, through you and your sons, and then through the tribe of Levi, I am going to establish a priesthood for my people. Now, I want you to understand just a couple things, and I want to lay a little foundation so you have it going in here. Five things about the priesthood, really quick. You can write them down if you want to. You don't need to. They're on the CD. But five things. In the Old Testament, God said the priesthood is so that these priests can minister to God on behalf of the people. That means there were priests who worshiped all the time in the temple. There were priests who brought the sacrifices and killed them on behalf of the people. There were priests who took the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it so that the blood of the animals would cover the sins of the people till Jesus came. The priests were the ones who came and put incense on the altar and allowed the incense to rise up to God. The priests were the ones who kept the candles lit as a statement of the presence of God is there. It was the priests who baked the bread and changed the showbread on a regular basis, talking about the presence of God in the form of bread, a picture, a beautiful picture of Jesus coming. It was the priests who cleaned the temple. It was the priests who guarded it. It was the priest who looked after the robes, looked after the curtains. It was the priest who looked after the fence. The priests were the ones who looked after everything regarding the temple. Here's a fascinating thing. The priests had no inheritance. All of the other 11 tribes received property. They received areas where they could go and live. God said, "You Levites, your inheritance is me." They were given no land. They were given no hill country, no territory. Their inheritance was God. And I want you to just get one more thing really interesting. Those priests wore special robes. We could talk about the rocks that were on there for the 12 tribes. They were set apart. But those priests were separate from all the people of Israel. I want you to get that. Secondly, the scripture says this, Hebrews 5:4, it said, no one chooses themselves to be a priest. I want you to understand that there were times when the kings went pagan, that the kings themselves would choose for themselves priests who weren't Levites and came under great judgment because of it. The Bible said that God himself chose who the priests would be. Nobody chooses to be a priest on their own. I just want to say that to you this morning. We'll get to it. You did not choose to be a royal priest. God chose you. We'll talk about that in a second. The third thing is this. In Numbers 18, verse 7, it said the priesthood, God said the priesthood was given as a gift to the people of Israel. I want you to understand the whole role of being a priest. God was going, I'm giving you the role of priesthood as a gift to the people. And I want you to get it inside of you. We'll get to it later. But I want you to understand that God has given us the gift of being a royal priesthood, but he has given us as a gift to the dying world. I don't know if you've ever seen yourself as a gift to the pagans and the lost and the unbelieving. God is going, the role of a priest is a gift to the people. You'll understand that better later. The fourth one is this. In the Old Testament, only men could serve as priests. You will not find anywhere in the Old Testament that a woman stepped into the role of a priest. Even though you might find some history about a woman being a pope. Was there a woman pope? It's hard to know whose history we can believe. But in the Old Testament, there was not a single woman who served as a priest. You're going to find the transition in the New Testament is that every woman is called into the priesthood. The fifth one is this. Exodus 19, verse 5. In spite of the fact that God chose the Levites, set them apart, in Exodus 19, verse 5, it says this, God's heart was to make the entire nation of Israel, men, women, and children, the entire nation, a kingdom of priests. That was God's heart in the beginning. Fell back to plan B for a while, but then came back to plan A, where now he's going, every one of you who are my children are a kingdom of priests. And a term that no Jew ever had, and that is not just priesthood, but royal. You'll understand that in a minute. I need to show you this, because this is how God laid it in my heart. This is going to be a little bit messy, but that's okay. Ken and Dennis, could two of you come up for a second? And Ken, could you come in this end? Dennis, could you come? Ron and Jerry, could I have you guys come for a second? Ron and Jerry. Now, I would use women as well this morning because the kingdom is made up of both men and women, but because they're going to be standing here a while, I'm going to just choose men. Can I make that clear? Reg and Virgil, can I have you guys come up? Have you hold that for a second? Kelly and Andrew, can I have you guys come up for a second? great. All right. Now, this is my picture of the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a picture of the tent of meeting, okay? We know that in Israel, that eventually they built one out of stone. Before in the Old Testament, it was made all out of curtains. They were able to transport it, pick it up, take it down. I want you to get a picture of what this temple looked like, just so that you have an idea of the role of the priesthood. The temple on the outside over here, you got to understand, outside of the temple proper, this was the area for the Gentiles. A Gentile could not enter into any area of the temple. They had to be on the outside. This was the Gentile area. This is Old Testament. When you walked into the first part and you went through the curtain, you came into the first part, and this was the altar area. This is the place where they had the altar. This is where they sacrificed all the animals. This is where the priests brought it in, did all the killing. Huge altar in this area. This is where it happened. This was the killing area. You walk through, and the story of Zechariah, when the angel came to him, Zechariah and Elizabeth, there was a priest who was chosen. For 1 week they would serve, one priest would serve. They would go through this curtain from this altar area. They would go into this area here, and in here there was another altar of incense. Over here would be the seven candelabra. What's that called with the seven candles? The menorah. On the other side there would be a table over here that had the showbread. When Zechariah met the angel, Gabriel came to him, his name was chosen. He was now a priest for 1 week. He walked through from this area into here. He would come in here, and he was offering the incense in the morning and in the evening. This is when Zechariah was met. He was called, came through this curtain, came into this area here, which is called the holy place. He was offering. Gabriel showed up to him. Woo! That's where they had the encounter. Just a reminder again, that because Zechariah didn't believe, what happened to him? He couldn't speak. And let me just remind you again, I believe God shut his mouth because Zechariah could have killed the whole plan if he'd have opened it. Death is in the power of the spoken word. He's going, this plan is working with or without you. I'm going to keep you silent. Your wife is going to get pregnant even though you don't believe it. He was in here a long time talking to Gabriel. The people outside were waiting for him outside over there. He comes out, comes into the place, the altar area over here. He comes out. The people are waiting for him. He goes to talk. He can't talk. They knew he had a vision. I want you to understand this is the place where Zechariah was. Every week, two times a day, a priest came in here and offered incense. Incense to the Lord, the prayers of the people. Once a year, there was a priest who was chosen. A priest who was chosen on the outside to sacrifice for his own sin. He committed a sacrifice over here. He went on the inside over here. Oh, I gotta do this. I gotta show you. This is what the Lord showed me. Because you need to see the difference. Okay? This is my priestly robe. Ignore Tigger, would you? So the priest would come once a year. The priest would come inside here. Significant that he would tie around his waist what? A rope. He would go then to this curtain, which was 6 inches thick. He would go through the curtain, and as he went through the curtain, the robe that was around him would have the rope that was hanging out. So when he got on the other side over here to take the blood onto the mercy seat, and in here would be the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant, by the way? The manna and the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod was in there as well. Don't know that it was in the Ark of the Covenant because it's very small, but it was in the Holy Holies. So here the priest comes once a year, sprinkles the blood on this part. The rope is on the outside. Why is the rope on the outside of this 6-inch curtain? Why is it out there? It's really true. If the priest came into this Holy of Holy areas, which is God's presence, and he had sin in his life, he would die. The bells on the bottom of his robe would not be ringing. If they heard there was no ringing, other priests would come in, grab the rope, and pull the dead priest out. Because sin could not be in the presence of God. But I want you to understand, in the Old Testament, this is as far as the priest could get. Once a year, into the presence of God, took the blood. Now, just for the sake of these guys, I want you to understand, the Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross at the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, it said all of a sudden everything went black. We're not going to kill it in here. For 3 hours, it was totally pitch black. On the ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon, right after he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he bowed his head and died. The Bible says, this 6-inch curtain, what happened to this curtain? Torn from the top to the bottom. The significance of that, you got to imagine as priests, okay? This was the deal. This curtain separated them from life and death. You got to recognize when the earthquake happened, when dead people came out of the tomb, when I'm not sure which affected them more. Truthfully, I believe the tearing of this was more scary to them because now all of a sudden they were all exposed to the presence, which was death. But the spiritual significance, we know it. It's this. God said when Jesus died, he was the ultimate priest. He came in, he offered himself as a sacrifice. He came in here on the altar of incense. He offered prayers to God. He took his own blood into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled it on the mercy seat, but he did something no other priest ever did. He went past this curtain, went over here into the throne room of God in heaven. The Bible says this, he took his own blood and he purified everything in heaven. But you got to understand, he passed through the Holy of Holies and went into the throne room, the presence of God. No Old Testament priest ever crossed through that curtain and went into the presence. But I want to tell you something. Every royal priesthood does that. You and I have been put into a position, have been given a name that no Old Testament priest ever had. Once a year they went in here, God's going, I am making it so you can do what Jesus did, pass through the Holy of Holies and come into my very presence with boldness. Okay, is this clear to you? Thank you, guys. You can just drop them. I just need them right where they are so I can. Let's give them a hand. Can we do that? Dylan, can I have you come for a second? I want you to be very gentle because this is my personal private robe. This will be the only time you wear it, brother. It even doesn't fit. Isn't that beautiful? Just stay right there, would you? I want you to get a picture of this. We know the issue with the curtain 6 inches torn in two. The whole significance was God was going, there was no longer any need for sacrifice, no longer any need for an Old Testament priest to go into that presence. He's going, I'm making a way by my blood for you to not only go into the Holy of Holies, but for you to enter into the very presence of God, commune with him in heaven, in the throne room. And here's the transition. He's going, every Old Testament priest had a robe that had all the 12 stones on it. They had to wear that robe. It was a holy robe that was anointed, the whole deal. He's going, when I tear that curtain and I allow you into my presence, he goes, I'm changing the robe. I'm ripping off of you the Old Testament robe. I'm putting on you what's called a robe of righteousness. No Old Testament priest ever wore a robe of righteousness. Now, I want you to get this picture. The Old Testament priest served on behalf of the people, represented the people, and ministered to God. That's what the Old Testament priest did. When Jesus died, he's going, I'm changing that. That's the priesthood. Now I'm establishing a royal priesthood. What I'm doing is I am setting up priests who come into my very presence, past the Holy Holies. I'm putting a robe of righteousness. Now the priest represents me and is going to go out of the temple, out over here, out through this one. My priests now are going to go into the world of the Gentile area and represent me to the people. Before, the Old Testament priest took all of the gifts and sacrifices, took them at every level, took them over here, got to this point, put the blood on the altar. He's going, now, my new priests, I'm anointing them with gifts. I'm giving them stuff no Old Testament priest had. And they're taking those gifts to the Gentile world in order to change them.
He's going, you're no longer a priest because you're mine now. He's going, I'm releasing on you the anointing of a royal priesthood. Nobody ever had the term royal before. It is no longer us going to God on behalf of people. He's going, you now who are in Christ, you are now a priest who in my presence receives from me. And now you go and you minister to the people. Do you see the difference? I want to ask you a question. When a female walks into the presence of God because they've come to know Jesus and God puts a robe of righteousness on them, is there now male and female? The revelation came that under the new royal priesthood, there is no male or female. There's no male or female. The Bible says this, that there is no longer a need for any sacrifice, for any blood to be sprinkled on here. Jesus did that once for all. The moment we receive it and we receive this robe, he's going, unless you see yourself as completely righteous, completely holy, you're deceived. Now, I got to tell you really bluntly, I wish the moment I got saved that every veil was pulled off of my eyes and I saw myself the way Jesus saw me. I didn't. It took me years to learn it. And I'll tell you partly why. Because the people I sat under didn't know that they were righteous. They confessed every week, I confess I'm sinful and unclean. Well, holy smokes, when you grow up and you confess every Sunday I'm sinful and unclean, guess how you begin to see yourself? Sinful and unclean. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I've done, by what I've left undone. I'm walking out, and I'm a sinner. I see myself as a sinner, and here I am confronted with sin. I have no power to stand against it because I go, I'm a sinner. That's what I do. So it's pretty easy to sin when you see yourself as a sinner. But let me ask you, what happens to you when all of a sudden you get a revelation that because Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled his blood, went into the presence of God, sprinkled his blood, and all of a sudden by faith you and I can enter into the presence. We receive the robe of righteousness and declare, we're told by, you are now as holy as I am. Jesus looks at you and goes, you are as holy as me. Can I ask you a question? You wake up every morning and go, I'm as holy as God. There are some people who struggle saying that. I had to practice. I remember when I had to look in the mirror. I had to look in the mirror and I'd say, I'm as holy as God. I remember when I began getting that revelation. Some of you, when we began studying Craig Hill's teaching, that teaching was radical. We moved into Neil Anderson, that was radical. We moved into covenant understanding. We moved into begin understanding what God was saying about us, who we are in Jesus. A pile of that stuff challenged our old belief system. Because I tell you, when I looked at me, I didn't see holy. But God said, that's the problem, Carl. You're looking at you. You got to look at Jesus, what he did, and now as a gift by faith, he is putting on you the robe of righteousness, your position. I'm looking at you and I'm saying you're holy. If you see yourself any differently, you are demonically deceived. And can I ask you a question? If I don't see myself as holy and I don't see myself as a priest and I don't see myself as royal priesthood, what is the likelihood of me walking out into the area of the Gentile world and going, I'm a gift to you? How many of us do you wake up every morning and the first thought that comes to me, I am a gift to the unsaved world. I'm a royal priest. Priesthood is a gift that God has given to the Gentile. It's a gift for me, but now I am a gift to the unbelieving world. How many of us see ourselves as a gift? Here's the truth. Unless you and I get a revelation of the priesthood that we are now part of, that no Old Testament priest ever was, until we get a revelation that we are talking royalty, royal, royal priesthood with a whole new robe of holiness, and the call is to step out into that world and to minister to people what God has given us? What's the likelihood that we'll do it? Zero.
Thank you, Dylan. Let's give him a hand, guys.
God said this: I'm going to reveal a name to you, and you're going to know more about me. He's going, my name is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You get to know my name, you'll know about me. You can begin believing that above what you can ask or think, that's who I am. My name will reveal something about me. He's going, let's turn that around. I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to speak to you a name of who you are, who I have made you because of what Christ did. I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to take that name. I want you to make it your identity, and it's going to change what you do, change how you think, change where you go, change how you minister. When you see yourself the way I see you, you will be a different person. He's going, not only are you a chosen race, he looks at you and me and he goes, you are a royal priest. You are a royal priest. As a royal priest, you do what no Old Testament priest ever did. You walk through the Holy of Holies into the throne room of God. You receive from him a robe of righteousness. You take his gifting, his anointing. You take all that God gives. You step into your dark world and go, the gift has arrived. How many of us wake up going, the gift is awake? World, you ready for me? How do I brand that inside of you? I can't. How do I take what you have heard with your ears and plant it as revelation truth in your heart? I can't. A number of years ago, there was a team from a Bible school that came to the church. You've seen me do this before. They did a drama about people coming into a church meeting, and they came in to the church and they walked in on their knees. And on their knees in the church, they were on their knees, and all of a sudden the pastor started preaching, and he was teaching a powerful word, and that word was inspiring, and that word was revelatory, and he was speaking that word. The pastor was saying, you're called to rise up. And the people got off their knees. And at the end of it, they were standing up and they were just worshiping. And they were like, yes, that is awesome. That's who I am. That's what God has done. Hallelujah. The benediction happened. And they turned around and they went back on their knees and they walked out. I'll tell you what you already know. Every power of hell wants you and I to rise up to what God has called us, a royal priesthood, to stand up in a way we never have before. Every power of hell is going to make sure when you walk out this door and out there, you land back on your knees and see yourself the same old way. How do I change that? I don't. But the Holy Spirit does. Would you bow with me for a moment this morning? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something that I am powerless to do. Father, I first want to thank you. I want to thank you that when you sent Jesus to be the ultimate high priest, to be the sacrifice lamb, to take his blood, not only into the Holy of Holies, but into the very presence of God, and to purify everything in the throne room. I want to thank you. The need for sacrifice ended. I thank you in that powerful, dramatic moment that not a single person missed. That 6-inch curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom to open up the way for every one of your children, male and female, to not only enter into the holy place, not only enter into the holy of holy place, but to enter into your throne room, into your presence. And not just once a year, continually. Father, it was your words imparted through Peter that to those who put their faith in you, the new name over them is a royal priesthood. A kingdom of priests. Coming back to what your heart was all down through time, through Jesus, you put it right. And now every man, every woman, every child who enters into your presence by faith receives the new robe, is made as holy as you, and receives a fresh calling as a priest to no longer minister to you, but as a priest to now minister to the dying world. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now that you would literally transform us by the renewing of our mind. Do to us what we cannot do ourselves. Show us who you have said we are. Give us a picture of what it is to be a royal priest, chosen by you. We didn't choose it. You chose us. And you spoke over us that we are a gift to the dying world. Would you seal that truth inside of every person under the sound of my voice? I need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you are here today, and there has never been a time in your life where you have put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, dying for your sin, rising again from the dead. If you are hearing the message of what Christ did for us as believers by bringing us into his presence and putting a robe of holiness, sin completely forgiven, becoming as righteous as God himself, and the cry of your heart is, I need that. Right now I invite you, as an act of your will, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Would you just say with me quietly, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for paying the price for my sin. And I thank you for rising again from the dead. I ask you now to come into my life, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. I thank you for coming into me. Do with me whatever you want to do. I trust you today. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. We believe you have been born again into the kingdom of God.
And I declare over you what I wish I would have heard when I prayed that prayer, that today a new robe has been put on you. You are as holy as God, and you are a royal priest. Welcome. Almost. You think so? Okay. So the clarity of no longer male or female. I'm not saying that we are gender neutral. I'm saying God created men, men, and God created women, women. There are two very distinct sexes that God made. There is no blend, no mix, no removal. What I am saying is that in God's eyes, the sex of a male and the sex of a female are no different to his anointing, to his priesthood, to his calling. Both individual sexes enter the priesthood. Good distinction. Colleen? Totally. Totally. Plan of the enemy to remove that and confuse them. I want to share one thing with you today, and I've been praying about this for some time in light of the message I shared with you today. I've had a couple of people ask about the Christmas banquet this year, and I said to them, just wait until the 9th of December, and I'll share with you what God's laid in my heart. You haven't heard about a Christmas banquet. You haven't heard to buy tickets. You haven't heard that we're going to be doing anything for a reason. As I went to the Lord and I prayed about it this year, and we've had a Christmas banquet every year. Some of them we do a full banquet for adults. Some of them we do family and have a Christmas party. Every year we've done that. This year when I went to the Lord said, I don't want you to do a Christmas banquet this year. The Lord said, in light of what I am sharing with the people, I would like you to call them to do something they maybe have never done before. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, if you love people who love you, that's no big deal. Even the pagans do that. In the book of Luke, Jesus made this statement. He said, when you have a banquet, when you have a meal, don't invite your relatives, don't invite your friends, don't invite the rich people, don't invite the church people, because if you do that, they'll probably repay you and invite you back again. He's going, tax collectors do that. Sinners do that. That's no big hairy deal. He's going, do you want to do something that will reveal to people that you are mine, that you do it my way as compared to the pagan Gentile way? He goes, this is what I would like you to do. He said, I'd like you to go into the Gentile world with your robe of royal priesthoodness. I'd like you to step into the Gentile world, and I would like you to find someone that will never be able to invite you back into their home. They may not even have a home. He goes, I want you to find somebody that can't repay you. And I want you to release your priesthood gift on them. I would like to have you invite the people in my church to invite into their home as their Christmas banquet someone they've never had there before, someone who could never invite them back, someone who's probably not even a believer, someone they may have met at mental health, someone they may have met at the gas bar, someone they may have met, I have no idea. Now, I'll just tell you straight up. I know that I'm instantly speaking and discomfort is rising in most all of you. I know that. Because it did me too. The thought of bringing someone into our home
as a gift of, I'd like to spend time, I'd like to feed you, I'd like to get to know you, I'd like to bless you, I'd like to leave my royal priesthood and step into the Gentile area and be what God has called the royal priest to be, is not comfortable to our flesh. But it is the call of God. This past week, I probably ran into 3 or 4 people who said, I just can't wait till Christmas season is over. I just can't wait. They said, this is the hardest time in my life. I just wish I could go to sleep and wake up in January and carry on with all the routine. Some of us can't even relate to that. But I want to tell you, we're surrounded by it. We're surrounded by it. I'm going to tell you, I can't make you do what the Lord is inviting us to do. I can't. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not even going to put out a report card to find out if you did. Because your response to this has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with how we see ourselves. Either I'm a royal priest or I'm not. The Lord said, call, throw the invitation out. Throw it out there. If all of my children respond to the invitation, there could be 100 more people who experience a banquet. Maybe a banquet of 3 or 4 who will experience a banquet this year with me present, who maybe have never before. He said, tell my people, I want them to be the gift. If anybody ever tells you, do you go to solid rock because it's comfortable? Be gentle, would you? Can I just say one thing to you? I believe that in obedience, there is blessing. I believe with all my heart that any of us who pick up the call and do what the Lord has said only royal priests would do, I believe when it's done, we'll look and go, wow. Why haven't I done that before? What a blessing. I remember the Lord said to me, call, everything I ask you to do is going to be impossible. I found that very freeing. Because I recognized what he was saying is, call, you can't do this without me. Can I say it to you? You can't do this. You won't do this without him. I can't do it today physically, but I do need to do it spiritually. Could you imagine for a moment if Jesus himself showed up outside of the Holy of Holies in the throne room and the presence? He invited every one of us who believe to come boldly into his presence, and he threw on us that robe and said, now that you know who you are, be who you're called to be. Would that make it easier? I want to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Father, everything in your kingdom, most everything in your kingdom, we cannot see with eyes of the flesh, but we see with eyes of faith. I want to ask you, Father, today, that in a very real and tangible way,
You know the cloak. You know the robe that has been around us. You know the identity. You know how we have seen ourselves. That is not in line with the way you see us. I want to ask you right now, would you take off of every person the robe that they should no longer be wearing? Would you remove it right now? Let it fall to the ground. And Father, would you pick up not just the priestly robe, but the royal priestly robe? Would you place that robe on every one of your sons, every one of your daughters? Would you put that robe upon them? And would you look at them and speak your name? You are a royal priest. Seal it. Forever change the way we see ourselves. Release a revelation that you have chosen us to be a gift to the dying world. Seal it. Seal it now. That we would never be the same again. I release a fresh grace over every royal priest in this place today who is stirred in their spirit to respond to your call to set up a banquet with those who will never be able to return the favor. I release a grace. I release creativity. I release courage. I release a willingness to walk in obedience. And by faith, I say thank you for every divine banquet that is represented in this place. I declare over you what you already know. The Lord has blessed you. And he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you with his peace. And the Lord has released revelation that you are a royal priest. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday, same time. Jay, if we could have some music, please.